Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Out the Blocks with Coach Lewis.
And Coach Donna.
How's everybody today? We got an informational show for you tonight, instructional show for you tonight. We're going to give you a little bit of background, though. We didn't get to talk about Sydney McLaughlin last week, so we want to talk a little bit about Sydney McLaughlin and what that her going pro and signing with a talent agency, even though they do have a sports component to it, what that does and what that would might and hold for track and field in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to talk a little bit about that. Of course, you know your number one fan is on there, wasn't it?
Who?
We'll see in a second. So we're going to talk a little about that, but our main topic is going to be about rest and recovery. I've given you a little snippets this week about rest and recovery, what we do for as far as rest and recovery is concerned, especially at this time of season. It's going to be a three-part thing, and the reason it's going to be three parts because there's actually three components from rest and recovery. We want to talk about rest and recovery for the athlete, rest and recovery for the coach.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. And rest and recovery for parents, because each person plays a part in recovery, not only for the athlete, but the parent and the coach. So we're going to talk about all of them. Today, we're going to give you a little background about what rest and recovery is. But before we get into that, we're going to talk about Sydney McLaughlin signing with the William Morris Endeavor Agency, talent agency, and what that will do for track and field.
Yeah.
As you're well aware, Sydney McLaughlin, right after the NCAA championship, decided she was turning pro. University of Kentucky was informed before the championship that she was turning pro, and she decided to turn pro. She hasn't run any meets yet. She was going to run the USA Outdoor Championships, but she had a little quad injury, so she didn't run. But the thing about it is she had not chosen an agent or a sports a shoe company or apparel company that she signed. And to this day, she still hasn't done that.
Right. I was going to say I hadn't seen anything.
No, she still hasn't done it yet. So she's still waiting. She's still mulling through the offers and making a decision. However, what she did do is sign with William Morris Endeavor, which is a talent agency. However, they also have, as part of their clientele, Serena Williams.
Yes.
Denzel Washington. Yeah, they can't leave out Denzel Washington. Denzel Washington. From sports, you have Jordan Spieth, the professional golfer. Djokovic, the professional tennis player. So it's not, and Allyson Felix.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not like she's going there. She's the only sports person, a sports personality in this talent agency. But she's coming with a lot of other people. But what does it do for track and field? Now, Allyson has been a great ambassador for the sport.
Absolutely.
And one of the best ambassadors we ever had. But Allyson came along when we didn't have this social media presence like we have today.
Right.
And Sydney McLaughlin is the queen of social media.
Yes. Yeah,
I mean, how many followers?
I live for her stuff, like, daily.
Right. And the best part about her talking on social media is she's just living her life as who she is.
Right.
A teenager. She's living a teenage life who happens to be one of the best in the world at the event that she does.
Yeah, just turned 19 like a week ago.
Exactly. And the thing about it is the track, as much as track and field is a big part of her life, from a social media aspect, you know, you don't see that so much as to a college student or a teenager living the life of a teenager.
Right.
Track and field is secondary. And the funny part about it, it's not a bad thing for our sport.
No, and the good thing about her, too, is that she is a positive.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's not like she's just on Facebook twerking and watching people out or anything like that. It's fun and entertaining, you know, to watch. So she's not just talking about track. She does talk about track, and she infuses track in her social stuff.
Sure.
But a lot of times she's just out hanging with her friends. She's going out. She's mad at guys.
Mm-hmm.
She is, you know, being a regular college student.
Yes.
She's pranking her teammates and, you know, all kinds of stuff like
she's
that.
Sure. She's showing where she got tested and, you know, she got to get to class and all the stuff she's dealing with, you know, just being that, with track being, you know, track is what made her so famous.
Right.
But it takes a back seat on her social media page, even though it's such a big part of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And everything you see around it is all encompassing about what she does on the track.
Right.
And the thing about her social media presence is it has never taken away from what she does on the track.
Not at all.
She is one of the best in the world, right? And the 400 hurdles. In fact, she has the number one time in the world in the 400 hurdles. So the social media presence doesn't hurt her at all. So
and
the
you
reason,
know what? And, it's, and it's not hurting a thing that she's drop dead gorgeous.
It doesn't hurt at all. It doesn't hurt at all. And it helps, you know, because for her, she has, you know, teenagers, young teens, older people who will enjoy watching her. And from a coaching standpoint, like for me, from a coaching standpoint, I enjoy why because I'm watching her do the events that I love to see run, 400 hurdles, and she does it extremely well. But from the other aspect of social media, you go, wow, she's just being a teenager.
Right.
She still, you know, she has talked to me. She's like, that's my mom's coming in the room. I better stop. I gotta get off the thing. Oh, here comes mom. You know, is my dad embarrassing me?
Right.
I mean, typical teenage, and it's not fake. It's not, you know, a show. It's not a reality TV thing.
Right.
It's, she's living her life the way her life is to be lived.
Exactly.
And so for us from track and field, I'm looking at this is going to make our sport explode.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is the age of these kids who do social media.
Right.
She's
right.
involved in all of social media. And they're going to follow her through all her exploits from track and field.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully it'll get more people involved and interested in the sport.
Right.
From that standpoint, from a track and field. But the other thing about her signing with this talent agency is, she's not just going to do track and field.
Right.
You know, her talent stuff is going to be, she's going to be, you know, associated with certain companies. You know, we don't know. We can only speculate, I would think.
Yeah.
Because she's so tall and, like you said, she's so gorgeous. It's like, okay, makeup lines, eyelashes, because she does the eyelash thing all the time.
Yeah.
Hair, you know, probably, you know, what, whoever does the hair. Shampoo, conditioner people, things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And because of her length, how tall she is, like 5'10", 5'11", obviously, you know, somehow, some way, she's going to be on a model. She's going to model in some way or something, which would mean fashion or design. So for her to be waiting to decide tells me that she's got a plan.
Right.
She's got a really good plan that they're thinking they're going to go through it and walk through it properly, and they're not going to sign quickly. And she's trying to get everything else in line. So it seems like she's getting the other parts in line first before she decides the track aspect of who's going to, you know, who's my shoe company, who's my apparel company for a track and field athlete.
Right, right.
And she's going to do that later. So she's not beholden to any of them. She's going to do what she wants to do.
Right.
One thing she has done is she's taken on, from the way it seems, she's taken Alison Felix's brother as her manager.
Yeah.
So,
I saw that
so from Allison's standpoint, it's, you know, she does her thing, she does the other thing. Yeah, Allison's now doing. She's reached out. She's the host of what is a Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
so Allison's branched out, but it's almost like the perfect, you know, transition. Here was our queen here, and now I'm passing the torch to this young lady who's going to carry the torch for the next 15 years or so.
Yeah.
So it's a perfect marriage, I see. And it's gonna enhance our sport so much because we've got somebody who passes all the tests.
Right.
She's not just a one-hit wonder. She is talented, and she's already been to the Olympics.
Right.
So she knows she has the talent. Right. And she's the best in the world at what she does.
Right.
And because of her age, she's only going to get better.
That's true.
So,
and then she's got a long time to do it. Like
yes,
said, because
absolutely.
Of her age, she's got such a long time to do it. And you know, the interesting thing about her is that even after going to the Olympics, she still came back and ran for her high school team. Even after high school, when she could have gone straight to being a professional, she chose to go to college. You know, she probably could have, you know, stayed in college, but like, what else could she really?
Right.
What
else was
really,
there for her to accomplish?
You know, at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the catch-22 as to why it was just like a win-win situation for her to make these moves right now. So I think everything was about timing, and I think had she gone straight to being a professional straight out of high school, I don't know that she would have still have the followers and everything, but I don't know that she'd have the same platform, you know, that she has now after actually going through, you know, the collegiate level of it, and then also now carrying all her followers mm-hmm. and everything mm-hmm. with her, and just kind of making herself almost like a household name now mm-hmm. to where mm-hmm. everybody's looking like, wow, what is she going to do next?
Yeah, exactly. And interesting about it, in talking about Sydney McLaughlin, I remember when our girls, our high school girls, got to run against her team, at Penn Relays mm-hmm. and New Balance. And the thing about it was, when they went to Penn Relays, they were in awe. You know, here she is, here's Sydney McLaughlin. You know, oh my God, here's the Olympic Sydney McLaughlin. And they're all like, oh God, here's my hero. And it's like, and they're all shaking and shivering and all doing all this stuff. And it's like, she's the same age.
Right.
You know, she's 17, you're 16, 17. You're in high school together. You know, you're in high school together. The same thing you're going through, she's going through. But they're also in awe of her. And then when they met her and we came back, said, so what it was like to be around Sydney McLaughlin? They said, oh, she was really, really nice. She talked to us, and it was like, it just felt so like, yeah, another teenager talking to us, what she's bringing to the sport. They were in awe, but they saw somebody who was just like them
right.
going through the same thing they go through in high school, you know, exams, tests, decide what school you're going to, boyfriends, all that stuff they're going through, and they all got a feeling of, she's just like me. I feel comfortable. I'm going to continue to follow her because she's doing the same things I'm doing.
Right.
And I just think that's going to lead for kids who are in high school now who are track and field athletes to continue to follow her and do those things, but also bring other people in track and field around for people to see. Like, well, in addition to Sydney McLaughlin, we've got Noah Lyles.
Right.
We've got, you know, Christian Coleman.
Mm-hmm.
We've got all these other wonderful athletes. And those you don't know right now, you will know in the next couple of years because of these kids we're talking about who are in high school now and going off to college and all this stuff. You'll get to know them. You'll get to know Michael Norman and Rye Benjamin and all these other people who are in that. Again, the same thing. They're all of their same age. They're 19 and 20 years old.
Oh, wow. So she's worth 500,000 pounds.
Okay. All right. Doing your research.
Get it, Tony.
What's the Eagle score, man? Anyway, so, but I mean, in saying that, she's ready to take the next level and do all this, and these other people will be a part of it, and they'll all bring everyone together, and hopefully that'll bring our sport back to the prominence that it should be.
And you know what else? You mentioned all the names
mm-hmm.
and all the young athletes,
mm-hmm.
I can't even call them kids,
mm-hmm.
young athletes who are in that same age range.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing and the beauty of it, too, what I agree that track will again start coming back to great prominence is because, one, social media.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Two, because a lot of them have grown up together through, like, USATF,
mm-hmm.
AAU, and
yep.
even a New Balance,
mm-hmm.
Nationals. And because of social media and things like mouse stat, mouse split, and all
mm-hmm.
that kind of stuff, it's all like, you know, they all get to know each
mm-hmm.
other,
mm-hmm.
you know. And now to see kind of all of them rising, continuing to rise,
mm-hmm.
because they've been great, obviously,
yeah. mm-hmm.
but continuing to get out there is, I think it's just in the next, that 2020 Olympics. Whoo,
yeah, and the great thing about it is like, as big as this world is, social media has made it smaller. Because as much as you think, you know, wow, these kids, one's on one side of the country and one's on the other, with social media, it seems like they're always in the same
right,
room together.
Right.
And if you talk about, like I said, they're all in the same, but there's a group right ahead of them, 24, 25, 26, who are like, hey, don't forget us.
Right. Hello.
You know, the Corey Carters and the others of the world say, hey, don't forget us. We're, you know, I'm Corey, like for example, Corey Carter, I'm the world champion. I'm only 25 years old. How are you going to forget me?
Right.
Kenny Harrison, I'm 25 years old. What do you mean? I'm not an old person. Like,
right.
No, you're not. So then that group gets enhanced because it's like, wow. You know, track and field has this young group of people from 17 to 25, 26 years old
mm-hmm.
who are going to carry the sport for the next 10 years and give us the promise. And it's not just USA. I mean, you got Jamaican athletes who are doing this
right.
thing.
Yeah.
For Brianna Williams is 16 years old, and she's thank you, Tony. I appreciate that. Brianna Williams is 16 years old, and she'll be running for Jamaica, but she's, you know, home-based in the United States, and
yeah.
she's one of the best sprinters in the world right now. She's already run 11-1, and she's 15 years old. Wait till she gets to 20 years. Who
right.
knows,
right.
you know? across the world, there's so many people.
And the thing about it is that the times that they're running
mm-hmm.
at these ages is not like they're just barely squeaking in.
Yes.
They can literally get in there and be competitive and possibly even win.
Yes. Yeah, that's what's so amazing.
Age.
Yeah, that's what's so amazing. Like I said, in 2016, Michael Norman and Noah Lyles were high schoolers and just barely missed going to the Olympics.
Right.
Meanwhile, Vashti Cunningham and Sydney McLaughlin were 16 years old each, and they went to the Olympics. So
yeah.
We're looking at this group of kids who's going to be here for 3-4 Olympics. You know,
that's
and
amazing.
Still be in their prime.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, if you're not a track and field fan, you're going to get to be one because you're going to see these young kids and they're bright, they're intelligent, they have a good feel for the sport, and they're generally likable. That's the best part about it. They're generally likable. They're not kids who you're not going to, oh, I don't like this kid. No, they're really likable kids. And the kids that you don't know yet, but we know well, you'll get to see them as well. For example, Grant Holloway.
Yeah.
He hasn't turned pro yet, but once you get to see him running, you say, wow, this kid, he's like, oh, this is another likable kid doing this sport. Yeah, so it for me, it's Sydney McLaughlin starts it, but all these other kids will benefit, and us track and field people, especially old guys like me, will be like, thank you, God, my sport's back. People will appreciate it for what it is. It's not a drug-induced sport. These kids are running times because of the way they train and what they do and all the things that go on, which leads us into our topic today of rest and recovery.
Right.
That's what we want to talk about.
Oh, good segue.
Ah, you know, I've been working on this.
Oh.
I've been working on this.
Uh-oh,
you ain't no skin, man. Three-part series about rest and recovery. We talk a lot about how we train the athletes, what we do to get them ready, the mental aspect of those things, but there's one component that we haven't talked about a lot. We talked about it,
mm-hmm.
but we haven't talked about it and where it fits in the athletes, and it's rest and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
All right? First and foremost, rest. It is a most important part of your training program. Parents and athlete coaches understand rest is the most important part of your training program. As much as you train them and get them ready and all stuff, one part that you can't oversee and you can't overlook is rest. You can train them to be the greatest, but if they only get 3 hours of sleep,
right.
Doesn't matter. You know, if they're only, you know, one out there and you say, you got this great workout and you say, okay, go get your rest and we got to meet on Friday or Saturday. And it's Friday, and you're like, okay, we'll get your rest. And the kids are staying up to 2 in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, and they came there where they only got 4 hours of sleep. Some of the things we found from studies and stuff, if you get less than the 8 hours of sleep or so, you can have, you know, relaxing time is slower, you know, because your body is not functioning because you don't have the sleep. Your time, they've found that your times will generally be slower, you know, because you don't react well, you don't jump as far, you don't run as hard, because your body did not recover and do what it's supposed to do. Now, you can never catch up on sleep. You always say you can never catch up on sleep, but the one thing you can do is make sure you get your sleep.
And you know what? One other thing, too, I want to touch on regarding the rest and recovery.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just during the after season.
That's correct.
Like,
mm-hmm.
it's also important during the course of the
mm-hmm.
season
mm-hmm.
because – like we were talking to a coach down at Nationals,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that he was mentioning is that one of his athletes just showed up that morning.
Yes, yes.
After being
yes.
on the highway.
Been on the highway, yes.
That entire time she was ranked in like the top 5
yeah.
in that particular event, but she got no rest that night.
That's
coming
right.
into the event.
Mm-hmm.
They drove overnight to get to the meet.
Mm-hmm.
She basically jumped out the car.
Jumped out the car
and
got
pretty
on the track.
Much jumped straight on the track. And needless to say, got you know. Got
her worst. She ran her worst. Yeah, her worst time she ran all season long.
Yeah.
And the reason being, not because she wasn't ready training-wise.
Right.
She didn't get her rest.
She did not get her
she
rest.
She did not get her rest. So, and you have to think about those things. Rest is so important. And when I say, and I'm talking about, but there's different aspects part of rest. When I'm talking about right now, I'm talking about sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You literally, athletes need to sleep.
Right.
You know, the best athletes sleep 8 to 10 hours a day.
Right.
Seriously, some of them sleep even 12 hours a day. You know, when they're actually training and all stuff, and they literally will sleep 10 to 12 hours a day. You know, they understand that they need to rest. They need
right.
their bodies to regenerate and get better from the hard work that they do. And the only way to do it is not just to lay down,
mm-hmm.
it's to sleep.
Right.
Because when you sleep, your body goes to work to regenerate itself and get itself better, recover from what's going on.
Yeah.
It does it best at the time when you're shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your body's not working to do something else.
Yeah.
You know, if you're up moving around, your brain is active and your organs are working to do something. But when you're sleeping, your brain and everything can go to work to do whatever it needs to do to help you recover from whatever's going on.
That's right.
And it gets you, your mindset is better the next day. You feel refreshed when you get down. Now, there's a lot of people out there who really, I can't get 8 hours of sleep or 10 hours of sleep because it doesn't work for me. But
right.
that's not an athlete.
Right, hello.
That's not athletes. That's not the tip-top athletes. And they will tell you, no, I don't function on 4 hours of sleep or 5 hours of sleep. I need to get my rest, especially when it comes to these meets. I cannot be slacking on the rest. You will see, and if you watch social media and watch the athletes when they travel, like when they're in European circuit and travel, one of the things they get so upset about, and one thing you always see is, I can't get in the hotel room fast enough to get my sleep.
Right.
You know, oh, I had delays. This messes me up. I can't get my sleep. You know, I can't do what I need to get my sleep. I have to get my sleep.
And that's the thing is that it is. Sleep. So it's sleep. So even if you're in the car and you're not the person driving, you're still not getting your proper rest.
Yes.
Even if you're on a plane and you're not, you know, physically moving around and everything, you're still not getting your full sleep.
Yes.
You know,
you may say, oh, I'm sleeping on the plane. You know, you're napping on the plane.
Right. You're not.
You're not in that deep. You're right. You're not in that deep sleep. You're napping on the plane.
Right. Right.
So even with just a long, like you say, even if it's a long 8 hour, you know, 6 hour flight or so, and you say, okay, I got 6 hours of napping. Even when they get off the plane, they're always like, man, I need to get in the bed. Yeah, I need to get in the bed and get some sleep. That's
right.
What they need.
Stretch out.
Yeah. So when we talk about, like you said, we're talking about rest and recovery. We talk about rest. The first thing we want to talk about is sleep.
Right.
That's our first one. And like Coach Nana mentioned, it's not just once the season's over. The part about rest is every day.
Right.
This is an everyday part of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
you have your practice sessions. You know what?
Tony.
I'm going to ban him.
He is on it. You're killing
you,
it.
You want to get on this side
you
of it? You want to get on this side of it? Other thing, Tone?
We invite him down to Richmond. We got to have you on personally.
Tony mentions blood lactate needs to be cleared up to get that rest. Absolutely.
That is a fact.
That's correct, yes. Oh, my God, jeez.
I mean,
I
ain't
hating.
The bringer
you know,
of knowledge.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, you know, I'm going to take your Google away. But anyway, when we say rest, we're talking about, I mean, this is a day-to-day thing. This is a daily thing. You know, we coach high school kids and even little kids. The little kids you don't have to worry about because the parents tell them to go to bed, and usually they'll go to sleep. But when we're talking about high school kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, first of all, they've got to, you know, first thing they have to learn is a part of everything that we do is time management.
Right.
And then that is a part of rest and recovery as well.
Yep.
They have to go to school. They got a certain time that they're at school. They have practice.
Mm-hmm.
They have their, you know, homework time, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
Their downtime, and then there's their rest time,
yep.
you know, and they should have downtime and rest time. They should have all of those things. They should always be a part of it. Downtime is not sleep. Downtime is where you're not doing work. You're not doing it. It's just that time where it's just you doing whatever you do, whether it be on social media or playing video games or watching television, downtime. It is a part of everything you need to do. But then the biggest part is the rest. The kids, using high school kids, seem to believe that the downtime and rest are the same. and they are not.
No.
And we tried to emphasize that so many times. Downtime and rest are not the same.
Correct. And the difference is that with downtime, you may just not be doing running mm-hmm. or this, that, and the mm-hmm. other, but if you're not truly getting complete rest, mm-hmm. then you still aren't resting. So just because you're not involved in an activity mm-hmm. at the moment doesn't equate to rest.
That's right.
Rest is when you're getting your full amount of sleep.
That's right.
Your proper diet, mm-hmm. you know, also contributes mm-hmm. to that mm-hmm. as well. You know, just all of that where you're literally resting your body,
mm-hmm.
resting your mind,
yes,
resting your emotions.
Yes,
you know,
absolutely.
And all of that, you know, kind of plays into the whole competitiveness.
Mm-hmm. How many times have we had athletes who psych themselves out of an event the next day
yep.
because they spend the entire night thinking about what mm-hmm. do I need to do? What do I need mm-hmm. to do? What do I need to do? And it's like, oh, I got sleep. No, you spent the entire night. And we ask, well, why do you think that? Man, I was thinking about it last night. And that's all you focused on the entire night.
Yeah.
I need to get out, or I need to make this turn, or I need to get my places right. I got my marks. I need to hit this board and all this.
Yeah.
And they focus on that all night long, even when they're sleeping. And we've had it happen where people said, I was even dreaming about it. Which
yeah.
means you didn't really rest. You had it on your mind, and you left it on your mind, and it just stayed there, and you just kept going on and on and on, and sleep did not happen.
Yeah, I've had jumpers even tell me, because, you know, I like to record them mm-hmm. as often as I can, which mm-hmm. is difficult for me because I get way too involved, and I need to watch the jump live. So
mm-hmm.
if I can put in a request to get me a videographer for this year, but anyway. That's a whole nother sidebar. We're going to get Tony down here. He comes down here and records the jumpers for me so I can dissect these jumps.
Oh,
but anyway, I record and I will send them their tapes and stuff. I mean, they're, you know, they're recording. So a lot of times from a previous track meet or anything else, mm-hmm. they are playing this thing in slow motion.
Oh, gotcha.
They're taking it all the mm-hmm. way back. Mm-hmm. They're taking it all the way forward.
Mm-hmm.
They starting it all the way from the approach to it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because I had one jumper, actually I had two, who like to do that too. You know, sometimes they start off with the slow
uh-huh.
jog and mm-hmm. then want to speed it up.
Mm-hmm.
But then your steps are all off,
mm-hmm.
you know, and everything. So I make them basically at this point now, everybody's just sprinting.
Okay.
We ain't doing all that fancy stuff, this, that, and the other. But the bottom line is that, like you said, they're not getting the rest because they're overthinking everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's fine to look at your previous jumps or look at any of your previous performances, whether it be in hurdles or jumping, running, or whatever it
mm-hmm.
is, but you got to let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Because one thing about it, for sure, is that just because you ran a certain way previously, you jumped a certain way, you got over those hurdles a certain way and all of that, doesn't necessarily mean that every single one of your races is going to be the same.
That's right, yeah.
So why sit around and work yourself up over your previous performance and or your current competition?
Mm-hmm. And you spend the entire evening doing that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing about it is just to be able to clear your mind. When we say rest, we mean you got to clear your
yes,
mind, and
yes.
you really need to get real sleep.
That's right. Absolutely.
Real sleep.
So that's what we're talking about when we're talking about rest. Yes, absolutely. That's what we're talking about, rest. But like we said, it's a three-part thing. We said the athlete, coach, and the parents.
Mm-hmm.
So from an athlete standpoint, we're telling you, get your hours of sleep. You
right.
know, we recommend 8 or more hours. You know, we recommend that every single night, get your hours of sleep. 8 and more hours of sleep, 8 to 10 hours of sleep. That's what we recommend from the athlete standpoint. But we're also recommending from the coach's standpoint is to make sure they do that.
Right.
I mean, to make them understand, look, I can't have you on this track without you getting your proper sleep.
Right.
You know, you've got to get your proper sleep. So when you ask these kids, and they're okay, you know, and it may be a nuisance or cumbersome sometimes, but sometimes ask them, I want you to keep a sleep log for a week. Just keep a sleep log for a week. What happens?
Nobody is sleeping 8 hours.
No one's sleeping 8 hours. They're faking it. But the coach isn't asking. You know, coach isn't asking. Because what you can do, if you can keep a sleep well, you can go, okay, you told me you slept 8 hours last night. Okay, I'm watching your performance on this practice today, and that doesn't look like 8 hours of sleep. It just doesn't. You know?
I'm going to send it to their butts, too, and let them know.
Rest and cut out all that beatboxing.
She's talking about me. She's trying to be funny. Tina, look at here, girl.
Here comes
that
look at here.
Right, that beatboxer never got in the way of my rest.
I know.
With Tina, Tina was the superstar of our team, and we drove her insane.
Uh-huh.
But she loved me, of course. But what we would do before all of our, especially like the 4x4, we would have to rap and beatbox, and I was the beatboxer. So it's like all this energy that we put into this rap and the beatboxing and everything else, we better make sure that we win that doggone relay. Oh, we're not going to hear the end of Tina's mouth about that, or Coach Stewart for that matter. She was Coach Stewart's pet.
Yeah, Coach
the
Stewart.
The teacher's pet.
Coach Stewart, yes.
And she was a hurdler, too.
Of course. Yeah. You're always going to leave it to the hurdlers.
I know. I got to give it to her.
That's right, hurdlers. Hurdlers lead. That's what we do. You know, who's the best hurdler?
I was her protege, though. Yes.
Lord have mercy.
Not in them 100 hurdles.
Can I get back to this?
Not in the 100 hurdles. Back in them 300 hurdles, though. Okay, back to rest. Back to rest. See, Tina done threw us all off.
Oh, my goodness. So, from the coach's standpoint, try to get them to understand how important rest is, you know, and it's not just, like you said, off season or break time or down. It's every single night, you know, get your 8 hours sleep, learn time management, make sure that they get that rest, because you can tell, and as a real good coach can tell, I can tell they didn't get that sleep last night.
Right.
I can watch it. It's like, nah, then it's like, coach, I'm just not feeling today. Yeah, because you probably didn't get your sleep.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always other factors, you know, what's going on in school or whatever the case may be. But you can tell from an athlete's performance, you can just see some things where you can just say they're just off. They're off a bit. And it's because they didn't get the sleep. And you can ask, you know, an easy question, what were you doing last night?
Right.
Yeah, and they're like, oh, I was up. You know, I was playing Fortnite or whatever the case may be.
What time did you finish playing Fortnite?
I ain't finished till like 1 o'clock. And like, oh, okay. You were up till 1 o'clock in the morning playing Fortnite? Yeah, I couldn't. Okay.
And that's the thing is that they think they're getting rest because they're not out in the streets,
ripping
and running. They're not at a party.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, doing a whole lot of physical activity.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that you're not resting your mind.
That's right.
Which is the most important aspect of it, because if you can't mentally compete, then you won't be able to physically compete.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just so that's what I say from a coach's standpoint. You know, ask the question and enforce that rule. Like, look, you have to get this sleep. You have to get this sleep. Oh, coach, I had to stay up late to study for a test. Why? Why do you have to stay up late? Which means you weren't using your time management to get your stuff done with your homework and your block time to understand what you're studying. Right now, again, coaches can't be your study hall and all this stuff all the time, but you can help them get the time management and get them to understand how important it is. The rest plays in all aspects of their lives, you know, because you're not getting your rest. No matter how much you supposedly crammed during that test, you didn't get your sleep. You're still going to have issues because you can't comprehend as well. You're not going to be able to say, man, I'm looking at this and it's just going to be blurred, those things. So make sure they get their sleep. They have to get their sleep.
Right.
All right. So that's not just off season. That's the entire season. Every single day, make them get their rest. Make them get their rest. So in talking about rest, that's the rest part. Now, here's another part we need to talk about. We talk about rest, and that's the three parts about this. Get your sleep. Recovery. Recovery is not rest.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Recovery is not rest. What else recovery isn't? It's not recuperating from an injury. That's not what recovery is.
Right.
Recovery is actually at the practice. Recovery is the time in which you say, we're going to do 4 sets of this. Take, you know, and I want you to get a 30-second, and when we use the words interchangeably, rest.
Mm-hmm.
That 30 seconds is recovery.
Yeah, recovery.
That's recovery. That's when they say we're getting recovery. Recovery, that's what we need people to understand. When you say recovery, I know we use it interchangeably with rest, It actually isn't rest. Recovery is the time in which you set sets up and they finish a portion of the workout, and you're giving them whatever that set amount of time is to get their bodies acclimated again to go do another one.
Right.
That's what recovery is. So when you ask me about recovery, that's what recovery is. So when you hear that, that's what we mean.
Right. And recovery is, so it's the time that's in between sets and so forth that practice, but it's also the time between one practice to the next practice.
No, that's not recovery.
Is that not recovery?
No, that's
not. So are you not preparing for the next?
You do, but that's different.
Okay, tell me. Tell me how so.
Well, we'll get my man Tony up here.
I'm going to tell me, Google it. Because if I find, that's what I'm thinking.
Well, and that's another R word, and that one is regeneration.
Okay.
That's what that is. Regeneration is the time in which, once you finish your practice, that's when your body stops the full practice,
okay,
and you take your body to give it time to regenerate everything that it just taken on beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
There's no more going on from the practice standpoint. Now your body is saying, okay, you've broken down these muscles, you stretched this out, you've done this to the lungs, I need to correct any deficiencies or anything. That's what the body does once you finish the practice. Regeneration starts immediately after you finish the practice.
That's
when the body starts the regeneration. And part of regeneration is rest. Your body needs that rest to help you regenerate to go back to do more the next day.
Oh.
And here he goes.
That's right.
Go ahead.
HGH is released during the third and fourth stages of the sleep cycle. I agree.
Anyway, regeneration.
I hate Google.
Regeneration, that's what regeneration is. Once practice ends, once you finish the practice, that's what your body is doing once you finish and gets to the next practice. So remember those terms. They're all ours. You got recovery, regeneration, rest. They're all things. They're used interchangeably most of the time. Everybody uses the word rest for the most part. But that's truly what they mean. You have rest, which is sleep, recovery, which is time between sets or when you're doing at practice, and you have regeneration. And when practice finishes, what your body is doing to get better physiologically for the next day. It's recovering for what happened that day. It's regenerating everything that's happened. That's the three things that are going on. Now, in saying that, that is a daily thing that happens. It's a cycle. It's an ongoing cycle that happens every single day at practice.
Right.
You come to practice, you do your sets, you get your recovery time, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 2 minutes, whatever the case may be, of recovery time to get your body, get the lactic, try to get it flushed out so you can go back and doing what you need to do for the next set.
Mm-hmm.
So you have that, and that should be based on the athlete and what the, here he goes.
It definitely does.
Rest. It does help to maintain the same sleep schedules. In other words, like Tony has mentioned, that if you go to bed at 10 o'clock, you should go to bed at 10 o'clock every evening.
Right.
That's what you're saying. You should try to do your best to keep the same sleep cycle. Now, of course, we old people like here, we don't have those things because, you know, one thing, you're doing this, you're doing that, and you got to stay up to do this or whatever case may be. Or, you know, sometimes like, man, 7 o'clock, I got a long day, I'm going to sleep. Bye. But for the athletes...
Scared the mess out of me.
Okay. For the athlete, they should try to keep that cycle. Like every evening is like, okay, 10:30 is my bedtime. I shut everything off and I go to sleep. That's what they should be trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
They should try to set themselves to do that. Have that never ending cycle. I do not Google. You find yourself. I can come on the show, but you know what?
What are your demands?
Don't get me started.
We're gonna get back to your demands.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Anyway, so the athlete should try to keep the same cycle every day.
Mm-hmm.
To say, you know, here it is. I sleep. You know, I go to bed at 10:30, 11 o'clock, whatever the case may be, and get my 8 hours of sleep.
Okay.
So they can do that. That's what they should do. Parents, that's where you come in. Look, you're training to do this. You need to get to bed. You should be in bed. Why are you still up? You know, I thought you had finished your homework. Why are you not doing some other things, relaxing? relaxing by, watching TV or talking on the phone, whatever the case may be. Then go to bed. You know, go to bed. Get into a routine. Go to bed. And parents can help in that aspect and getting ready. You want your athlete to be at the optimal levels and do the best, you got to help. You know, it's not just the coach. You know, it's not just the athlete. Because, again, if we're talking about high school kids, you know, forget it. You know, high school kids, like, I'm indestructible. I only need a couple hours of sleep, you know. And then, you know, some of them are like, I'm so smart. I don't have to study that much. You know, I grab an hour of study. I'm good to go. Whatever, and do whatever they want and be done with it. Well, of course, they have no cycles, no nothing. And then they go out there and they perform a little bit. And they look pretty good. But then when you really need them to perform.
Right.
Then what
happens? That's when they start wearing down. And that's like, when that whole thing of not getting the 3 hours.
Yeah, that's right.
Kicks in.
That's right.
Because then at some point, you know, either from either overtraining,
mm-hmm.
either from lack of rest,
mm-hmm.
Not having the restorative part,
uh-huh.
you know, and you just in general, if you don't get all three,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't try to follow that same regimen as much as possible, because it also comes down to muscle memory,
mm-hmm.
too.
Yep. Yep.
You know, at some point, you don't think that it's going to happen, but eventually, it's, you know, your performance is going to start slacking mm-hmm. because you aren't getting everything that you need to mm-hmm. be at, you know, in the best shape
mm-hmm.
to perform.
Here's the funny thing. Even at our ages, our muscles still remember when we were doing this.
Right.
If we were to go out there now and, you know, neither one of us is going to do it. Well, she'll try, but... If we were to go out now and say she wanted to triple jump, and she, okay, if she were actually to run down the runway, you know, her muscles would remember what it needs to do, all right? It would still know, I need to do this, I need to bring this blood here, I need to finish this, I need to get the hip in this motion. It remembers that. Your muscles have memory, honestly. That's the funny part about it. Your muscles actually remember that. If I were to hurdle, my legs would know, okay, I lift, do this, and keep going. It understands that. It learns that. You teach your body that. You teach your muscles that stuff. So even at today, we could go out there and say, okay, I want to do this. Your muscles remember.
Yeah, I was just getting over hurdles not too long ago.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, I was.
Yes, she was.
I was.
Yes, she was.
I wouldn't say I was the greatest, but I did snap my third leg.
I was hating you. And I was hating you.
Wait a minute, didn't you just, like, challenge some of your hurdlers the other day, your college kids?
They can't beat me.
Okay.
They can't be me.
I believe you.
They can't beat me.
I believe you.
They can't beat me. Yeah. Quell, Thomas,
yeah.
Will, none mm-hmm. of y'all. Y'all can't beat me.
Okay. All
I'll
right.
still beat y'all.
You got this.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Got this. Uh-huh.
I'll get them first two hurdles. I got them.
After that,
hey, it's a wrap.
Whatever happens.
I'm shutting down. Gotcha. Happens, see, right. That's it. Exactly.
You grab your hamstring.
No, like, I'm just running off the track. Y'all ain't good enough. You know, see, I get y'all. Why you let this old man beat y'all for a year?
That's how I do my kids. When I knew my kids could start outrunning me, because I used to crush my kids without hesitation.
Mm-hmm.
And they would be so mad. They'd like, gosh, mommy can run so fast. But really, they were just young.
Uh-huh.
But, you know.
Yeah.
But
once you get to that point.
Yeah, but once they started getting older and I knew they could beat me,
yeah.
I would get out so fast because mm-hmm. I knew I could get out faster mm-hmm. than them.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would just start laughing hysterically.
You're like,
and they're like,
got
what
them.
Is so funny? What is so funny? You just laughing because you're about to get beat. I'm like, no. I'm just laughing because I still got you. If you can't beat me in the first three steps, you're not going to win. You know, but really, they would have crushed my butt
exactly.
by then, but I would never get
old
them
trick
that
to the
bad.
Trade. Exactly.
No.
Old trick to the trade. That's how we do it. That's how we do it. We don't mean to get sidetracked, but what we're saying is, we're trying to get you to understand is your body remembers. It still has muscle memory. But the thing to keep it, hey, Reg, how's it going? But the thing to keep it moving is the things that we just talked about, the rest, recovery, generation. And
mm-hmm.
to do that cycle over and over and over again keeps it going and keeps it healthy and keeps it fresh. You know, you get atrophy and everything, you know, you get older and you get age and things happen and, you know, things happen and things, you don't have it anymore, you know, in that sense. But your body still remembers, I can still hurt, you know. I can still run an 800. I ain't going to try, but I can still remember because my body knows, okay, this is what your breathing pattern. This is what's going on. It still knows these things. It doesn't go away. So once you teach them this stuff, you want to get them a cycle to keep it fresh. keep the muscles knowing, keep them learning, keep them growing, and all those things. And that's part of the rest, recovery, and regeneration, what we're talking about tonight and the next couple of weeks. So that's what we're talking about. If you want to get in on this conversation, give us a call, 646-668-8083. Phone line, you can talk to us about it. But in saying that, we want to continue on that stuff because one of the things I wanted to focus on this evening is we talk a lot about in season, but I want to talk about off season because what happens, and this is where we lose athletes, parents, and coaches.
Right.
The off season. Our season started last year in late August. We went from late August all the way to almost the first week of August.
Right, right.
Almost till the end of
finished.
Yeah, almost till almost the end of July. We made it to the end of July.
Right.
So literally
July 29th.
Yeah, literally almost 11. Yeah, golly, that's right. 11 months. Literally 11 months of track. You're like, holy cow, that's a long season. Yes, it is. It's a long season. Yeah. Indoor and outdoor season. It's a long season. But there's phases in which you do these things, and we do that. But the part that seems to get missed is that downtime between now and when season starts again. And that's where we talk about trying to tell the athletes, and we have this issue with these kids every single year. They're like, coach, I don't want to stop. I'm hot. I'm feeling it. I'm
right,
ready to go.
Right, right.
You know, why can't I go out and practice? Can I go out there and do this? And then the answer is no.
Right.
You cannot. And we literally have to stop them. They're like, but can I just? And the answer is no, you can't do it. And then they try to reason with, okay, well, what if I just, and the answer is no.
And the funny part about it, though, is like, what is the purpose of going on?
Yeah.
Right? We've gotten through nationals, two nationals at this point, New Balance Nationals and the USATF Nationals at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So now that you hot and
you
feeling it, you know, and everything, you want to keep on going, but you don't have another track meet till December.
Nope.
So you may as well shut your little butt down, you know, just as we suggested, but for whatever reason, I guess, you know, mentally, they pumped up and ready.
Yeah.
I was ready. He was ready.
Yeah, and then they all say, and every single one of them says, I'm going to get out of shape. I can't run anymore. I'm going to be fat and I can't do it. When I come back to practice, you're going to kill me. But, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I do. I do kill you. But I'm not killing you because you're out of shape. I'm killing you to get you back into competitive racing. But your body already knows what it's supposed to do, and it's telling you, and it tells you, hey, athlete, time to shut it down. You know, we're fine. We're okay. Give us a chance to recuperate, regenerate, recover from an 11-month season. You know, your shins are saying, hey, it would be really nice if we weren't taking that pound.
Right.
Exactly. Your ankles are saying, my goodness, you know, it's nice I'm not twisting and turning, you know, trying to spring and go up there. I mean, your body's telling you these things, you know, from a hurdler standpoint, your hips, your arms, everything, your whole body tells you. And here's one thing the kids don't mention. The one that it really is your brain.
Right.
It's telling you, hey, we need time off. We need to shut down from doing this aspect. And what we want you to do, and the coaches have to advance us, we want you to not do this for a little while. It's not like we don't want you to do it. We just don't want you not to do it for right now.
Right.
So don't do anything.
Right. And that's exactly what I was going to do. It's just kind of piggybacking off of what you're saying is that you're not doing anybody any favors by continuing or sneaking, trying to do and trying to, you're not going to get out of shape.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in shape and you're just a teenager, if you take a month off, first of all, your body will thank you.
Yes, it will.
Your mind will thank you.
Yes, it will.
You know, and then when you go back into this training, you'll be more eager, for one, to go back into the training, and you'll be better prepared because you have given your body this time to rest.
Mm-hmm.
Anything, whether it's running, football, volleyball, or work, whatever you're doing, you have to take a break from it.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you're having, you know, to take vacation time because you're actually working on a job, you know, that doesn't even require physical activity, it's still a mental thing that that you are given on a regular basis. So everything that you do in life requires rest.
Mm-hmm.
So why is it that you would think that you would need to continuously do something
yes.
all the time?
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's you, like you're not benefiting anybody
no.
because eventually you're going to break down.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't take the time to rest, that's when you're more prone to, you know, getting injuries
yep.
and, you know, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff.
Little things.
Yeah.
It may not even be a big thing, just little things, little aches, little pains, you know. You know, you can't stretch well and all that stuff. And the thing about it is the athletes always seem to think that when they get back, those first couple of weeks, we're killing them, they can't move. But what happens is actually you're better prepared to come back. Because your body's gotten this rest, and you don't need as much time to start over again and get
mm-hmm.
going because you've gotten that rest. Now, if you continued on, your body would reach a potential, to get one point and say, that's it, I'm done, I can't go any further, you are stuck right here, and you're going to plateau and not go any further than that. That's
right.
where you're going to go. You know.
Mm-hmm.
But when you get to the point where your body can shut down and relax and rest and take its time to regenerate itself, you know, and then when you come back and get into these workouts, you recover faster. You're more in tune with the workout, and you get better with it. So we always see these leaps and these jumps from kids from, and you see it in every sport, from freshman to sophomore, and you say, man, these kids got better. Some of it is, yes, they worked on the thing, but the other thing is they allow their bodies to take the time to rest,
right.
and now they can come back and recover faster and get into more things that they're doing. So you can increase the workout,
right.
enhance the workout, do those
right.
things, because they did the things properly beforehand when you get back to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's and the thing about it is that here's the thing. When you try to keep on going
mm-hmm.
like that,
mm-hmm.
you're going to wind up burning out mid-season.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't take that time, like you said, when you come back after that break, yes, it feels like you're about to die because you haven't been, you know, doing that same level of training or any training
mm-hmm.
for that matter. So you definitely have to build yourself back up.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of times as we, you know, when we start back with the season, you notice we don't jump out there and start immediately sprinting.
Nope.
We build your endurance back
mm-hmm.
up. We build your heart back
mm-hmm.
up, you know, and all of that just that whole mental aspect of getting back.
In those members, those muscles required,
right,
yes.
Getting
mm-hmm.
back into the swing of things. And then after a month or so, then we start branching out
mm-hmm.
and bringing on maybe hurdles, maybe not even quite that soon.
No, we work it into it, and you know, we get your
yeah.
bodies ready first and get it ready before we even start that technical stuff.
Right.
There's no reason to do the technical stuff early.
Right.
And we do it all the time. That's how we build a program.
Mm-hmm.
Even with the little kids, the funny part is, you know, like we have a shortened season, but we don't. You know, shortchange the first part of building them up first
right.
to get their bodies with the muscle memory, building the muscle memory and getting them going before we get into the more difficult things. You know, the first practice is, okay, we're going to do a bunch of sprints. It's like, okay, let's see what you can do. Let's see how you can run. And then teach them the aspects of running and all those things and getting them going to build that muscle memory so they do the things properly.
Right.
And my coach was mentioning, is like, again, those who want to continue on, you know, when you get back into the, you know, we start the season up again, you may be, yeah, you know, I'm doing workouts better than everybody else and all this stuff, and I'm out of the league. Yeah, okay, that's September and October. But here comes December, and all of a sudden, you can't get better.
Right.
You're like, that's it for you. And now everybody who was way behind you is now caught you and passed you. And it's like, man, what's going on? I know I'm better than this person. Like, well, you may be, but because you didn't listen to us and let your body rest and recover and regenerate,
mm-hmm.
you know, it said, nope, that's it. You've reached this plateau. We can't go any further. We're stuck right here. You're not going to go any further. Meanwhile, the other person who did do that said, here's we go, and I'm going to move forward and I'm going to go better. So it's such an important part of the off season is to just tell your body, no, I'm not going to do it. And the coaches, we tell you all the time, and we have to argue. And again, they try to, like, okay, what if I do this? You know, they try to negotiate.
Right.
And
right.
the answer is always no.
Right.
No, no, no. And they think we're being hard on them. We're looking out for them. We're trying to get them better.
And then, you know, and when you're doing too much,
mm-hmm.
you know, and not getting that rest,
mm-hmm.
that's a lot of times, and it's not always just based on this, but that a lot of times is when you actually start seeing the shin splints
yep. mm-hmm.
and stuff happening.
Mm-hmm.
when you start seeing issues with hip flexors.
Yeah, gosh,
you know,
how many hip pointers and hip flexor issues do you have? Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's a lot of time, you know, pulled hamstrings.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not to say, you know, a lot of that can come from obviously not stretching properly and not
mm-hmm.
drinking enough water
mm-hmm.
and, you know, all kinds of other things
mm-hmm.
that can contribute to it.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that if you aren't resting,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all and getting all of the what you actually need from that 3R perspective,
mm-hmm.
you increase the chances of all of those,
mm-hmm.
you know, types of things
mm-hmm.
happening.
That's right. Absolutely. So, I mean, we're talking to parents, we're talking to coaches, we're talking to athletes. We're trying to say on that off season, when the season is over, the season's over.
Right.
That's it. When the season is over, the season's over. Do not go back out there.
Right.
Don't
you
say
can
I'm
talk about it.
Sure.
I want to.
Yeah.
But
don't say oh, I'm gonna take a week. Right.
Sure.
I'm gonna take a week off and get back at. No. Don't do that. You know when your season begins.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, you know when your season begins. You know, preseason conditioning is not when your season begins. Remember that. That's not when your season begins. Your season begins in December. That's when your season begins. So you're trying to build up to that. So don't say I'll take 2 weeks off because, you know, preseason conditioning will start. And then, no, preseason conditioning is just that. Preseason conditioning. Your season begins in December for the most part. So be mindful of that. Listen to your coaches when they tell you, you know, get your rest. And rest is, like there was an acronym early in the week, was rest, eat, sleep, time. Rest, eat, sleep, time. Sleep, eat. You know, eat, enjoy yourself. There's nothing wrong with eating. Oh, my God, these kids, some of them, like, you know, we harp about your diet and all stuff, but there's nothing wrong with eating.
Right.
You know, now eat healthy. Don't go out and like, okay, well, season's over. I'm going
to
eat 2 cheeseburgers a day.
Right.
And
yeah,
greasy French fries. Yeah, greasy French fries and all this ice cream. No, but it doesn't say starve the things that you like and starve yourself away from it.
Right.
You can always still stay in shape. Even when you're not running.
Right. Because we're definitely not going to sit here and act like we were the healthiest things coming along. You know,
exactly.
We ate
Hold on.
What they put on that table.
Let's backtrack. During our day and age when we were running, again, nutrition wasn't as big
it
as it is today.
Right.
It was not. So we were eating all the wrong things.
Right.
We were like, yeah, I'm going to get McDonald's before the meat so I have something in my stomach.
It wasn't no sense.
Exactly. And then go perform. It's like, oh, man, I had grass. I did a great day today. But then you're like, man, if I...
Ooh,
when
my
I know,
stomach is killing
yes,
me.
or you look today
and
you go...
You didn't even think about that stuff
no,
at
you
the
didn't.
Time.
You didn't think about it at all. It's like, okay, if I'd eaten this and this and this and this beforehand, and if I had my diet set up like this, I'd be better. I'd be better off. Now, we always knew we had to drink our water. You know, always drink your water, had to
right.
be hydrated. We knew
right.
that. But as far as our diets were concerned, you know, let's eat what's in front of us,
yeah.
you know. And you know, that's okay. I mean, that's what we were doing when we were coming. But we realized, you know, the coaches realized how important nutrition is to being a better athlete.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying go away from your nutritional guides. And that, but we do want you to say, understand that once you the season's over, it's okay to eat. It's okay to eat, you know. And athletes, you're not going to gain 20 pounds.
Right.
You know, you're not going to gain 20 pounds. You're not going to gain 10 pounds. Don't worry about it. It's like, I gained 6 pounds. It's okay. It's okay, because you know what? We're going to run that off of you anyway.
Right, exactly. Or you're going to throw it
exactly.
up.
Exactly. It's going to go away. Trust me.
Yeah.
You come work out with
home.
Us. It's going to go away. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. You know, again, like you said, there's nothing wrong with enjoying yourself and having some fun. You know,
right.
Hey, want to go get some ice cream? You know, Coach Lewis, you know, my Coach Lewis ain't here for this month. Go have ice cream. You know, now when
I
the season starts.
Mine, hey. So. I mean.
Now when the season starts, and I say, hey, you need to cut back on the ice cream, and you think you're gonna eat it? Like, trust me, I'm gonna run it out of you.
Right.
And or you gonna, you know, have it out on the on them hills? Then yeah, that's something else. But when the season's over, and we're talking about rest, eat, sleep time, eat, enjoy it.
Right.
Eat your food. Don't drink a soda, but eat your food.
Right.
Enjoy. I mean, that's important. It is important to take this time to do the things that you enjoy doing. And don't withhold from some of the things you're doing. Just don't do something stupid.
Right. Very true.
So, I mean, simple stuff. This isn't hard. You don't have to use the physiology or the scientific of it. It's just like the season's over. You're
right.
done.
The end.
Yeah.
I mean, you
season's
would
over.
Think it's so easy, so cut and dry.
You would,
really
would truly believe that that's it. And the funny part, No, I just hit that.
Oh,
right there.
Okay.
And you would truly think that it wouldn't have to be more than that. But right. That's what it is. It's like season's over, done. And it's not. We're not just talking about high school athletes. If you watch all the pros, they have a time when season's over, this is what I do.
Yeah, they chilling.
Yeah. You know, they're going out enjoying themselves. You know, they're enjoying it, you know, having a burger or whatever case may be. Like, yeah, I mean, it's whole for some of those things during the season. But they know, okay, it's downtime.
Right.
This is what I do. I'm going to have a fun. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm not thinking about track. I'm not going to be on the track. I'm going to do all these other things I want to do, whether it be travel or read or whatever it is. They're going to do those things because they know I'm supposed to get away from the track. They know this. They're paid, and they know they need to get away from it.
Right.
They get paid, and they still know that there's a time I have to get away. So why would a high school athlete think they have to keep doing it?
Right.
And coaches, why would you enforce them, make them think they have to do that too?
Sure.
I mean, in every sport, why would you think, you know, your football season ends, you win a championship in December. Why are you telling a kid to get right back at it in January? For what?
Yep. And the thing about it, too, even if you play multiple sports,
mm-hmm.
right, you still need that time off. So even
you should
if you're
never go from one right to the other.
Straight into it, right? Yeah. Because and that's a good thing that a lot of coaches are now actually enforcing is that if you're coming from, let's say, the football team
mm-hmm.
and you're coming into indoor track,
mm-hmm.
so you're just finishing up a you know your football season, and
mm-hmm.
we may even have a track meet
mm-hmm.
the next weekend, but you're not running
you're not
that
running.
Track meet.
No.
You're not even going to practice yet.
No.
We're not even going to let you. You can come out there, you can look all you want
mm-hmm.
to, but we're not even going to let you practice,
right.
let alone to actually get out there and compete.
That's right.
So
exactly.
Yeah. So
you know, I don't understand that. Again, things have changed. I mean, you know, we, again, 30-some-odd years ago, you know, I went from football right to basketball.
Right.
You know, it was, okay, football season over, I'm running good in the basketball court. I mean, immediately, but that's not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You learn after all these years, like, you know what, actually, it was hurtful. It was harmful to my body
yeah.
because
yeah,
I didn't take the time.
Time.
Yeah, because I didn't take the time to take that week and say, okay, let me adjust to it. And here's the other thing about it is, like, again, you may be in football shape, but you're not in basketball shape. You know, when you come in there. Well, and then, yeah, I understand that, Eric. I understand that truly. You know, you're in football shape, you're not in basketball shape. You're in football shape, you're not in indoor track shape.
Definitely not.
You're not.
In track
you're
shape.
Not. When you're definitely in basketball,
not
you're not
sport.
In track. Right. You're not in track shape. You're not. You've been running, you've been playing, and you have some physical endurance, but you're not in track shape. And
you're
not in basketball shape.
And that's the thing about it is that the good part about track is that track pretty much puts you in shape for any other
uh-huh.
sport.
Mm-hmm.
Any other sport doesn't necessarily put you
no.
in shape for track.
The closest is soccer.
Right.
Closest is soccer. And
yeah,
swimming. Swimming's pretty good, too.
Yes. Because I tell you what, having a child who did volleyball
mm-hmm.
and track, she looked like she'd be killing it out there with
mm-hmm.
volleyball and,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But when she comes out for track,
mm-hmm.
it's like she never exercised.
It's like, why
months.
Am I? And they say, they all say the same thing. And Lila say the same thing. Man, I'm not in shape. What happened? I've been playing volleyball.
But she would go into volleyball coming out of
right.
summer track, killing it,
yes.
you know, and the other team is like, they're not as,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're not jumping as high, they're
yep.
not moving as quickly, because
yep.
she would come out of track, take her week or two or so off,
mm-hmm.
and come into volleyball, like, on it.
Yep.
And then she would come into track, whereas track people who've been resting
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and getting themselves ready,
mm-hmm.
she will eventually
you'll get, there.
Get back up there.
Yeah.
But she does not come
into
that season like
no,
that. Oh, my
in
God.
There.
Woo,
and,
she would be.
And, you know, and I mentioned, because we're track coaches, we're talking about track, but it's for every sport.
Right.
You know, football shape doesn't make basketball shape. Football shape doesn't make wrestling shape. Wrestling shape doesn't make basketball shape.
Right.
They just don't make, because they're different. You first of all, use different muscles.
Mm-hmm.
You run differently, and your lung capacity is different. It's
right.
not the same. So you have to learn and get your body, again, the memory part about it, learn it. Oh, it's basketball season. Let
right.
me get my lungs ready for basketball. Or,
right.
oh, it's track. I need to get all these other muscles ready because it's track time.
Mm-hmm.
Your body has to change. It has
right.
to shift. and it doesn't like, and it will tell you point blank, what do you mean? I was just playing football, and the next day you want me to get on this track? Oh, no, it's not going to happen.
No.
You're like, man, I can't run. And you're like, whoo, man, I just, you know, I've been doing sprints at practice and football practice and all that stuff, and I'm killing them in the sprints at practice. And you got me trying to do one lap, and I can't do it.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And the reason is your body's telling you.
Yeah, basketball, you might be running those suicides and all that kind of stuff. In football, you get to run a play, take a rest. Run a play, take a rest. You get, you know, and then not only that, you may not play offense and defense, because most people don't.
Not
so then you're sitting out a whole series and everything else. Track, when you get to practice, it might be different at a track meet, but you have to work your way up to the track meet, first of all. But when you actually get there just for the training itself, one lap, and you like, man.
And the other thing about it is
we come into the season, though, straight running miles on the first day.
Hey, Carol, how you doing?
Hello.
But here's the one thing. Here's the funny thing. And you're talking about, it's like football players who are sprinters. Like, oh, I can just step on the track and run. No. No.
Mm-mm.
You're not going to step from a football field and then step in a line on the track and think you're going to dominate. No. No, you're not. No. One, you're either, more than likely, you're going to pull something, because you haven't stretched properly, because you don't stretch the same as you do in football, you know, and you don't have the lung capacity to run that 60 like you thought of. 60 yards ain't 60 meters,
you know, it
ain't. And just because you run on a football field, people chasing you, it's a little different from guys like, yeah, well, you know what, we don't have that stuff on, I'm just going to run right past you, and I'm faster than you. Simple as that. It doesn't happen that way. You just can't step off the football field on track and think you're going to dominate.
Right.
Doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. And the thing about it is, your body tells you that. It's like, what are you trying to do? We can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once you change sports, you know, you have to take the time to rest.
Right.
You can't go from, if season ends, I'm going right there. Nope. Take a week.
Right.
Take 2 weeks. And the coaches of the second sport should know this and say, I don't want to see you for a week or 2 weeks, whatever the case may be, depending on the athlete. I don't want to see you for a couple of weeks. I'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll get you ready, and we'll get you moving and get you in a program to get you up to speed.
Right. And it doesn't even matter if you're going from indoor track to outdoor track.
Yeah, it's different there, too. Yeah, absolutely.
You still have to take that break.
Yep.
Because most sports, you know, they last maybe three and a half months, you know, or whatever. So you have your football season, you have your basketball season, and so forth. So the thing about it with track athletes, you pretty much almost automatically have two seasons.
You have two seasons, yes.
You have two seasons. Because most people who run indoor track run outdoor track. Now, a lot of times you may not have the cross-country kids. It may not translate for them quite the same.
Right.
Because it's just totally.
And a lot
different.
Of cross country kids do not like indoors.
No, they don't like it.
They don't
at
want
all.
To do anything
they
with
don't.
Like,
yeah, that looks. Yeah.
They some of them take a break.
Yeah. But yeah, it's like I said, it doesn't matter if you're going from one sport to the next sport. We consider indoor track and outdoor track as two different sports.
It's two different seasons.
Two different
sports. Yeah, it's two.
Yeah.
It's the
two
same.
Two different events.
Right.
It's
the
event,
same
events and everything.
Sport in the fact that it's track,
right.
But it's truly two different. Ways of indoor season is nothing like outdoor season. They are totally different. Even the training that we do is different from indoor season to outdoor season.
Yeah.
They're totally different. So we have some of the same aspects and we do some of the same drills.
Right.
But indoor season training is different than outdoor season training.
It is.
Because they are actually truly, in a sense, two different sports. And you have to learn and teach them that stuff. And again, coaches and parents, you need to understand that they're two different sports.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly different. So when an athlete is doing indoor season and they finish indoor season, don't immediately think, okay, we're going to transfer right into outdoor season. It doesn't equate that way. It doesn't, because they had a great indoor season, doesn't mean automatically it's going to transfer and translate on the track for outdoor season. Nope. Doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
So just learn that, you know. And then one of the reasons, because people think you go right into it, they're not doing the thing that we just talked about. We've been talking about this whole evening, is rest.
Right.
Your body still needs, you might think it's not doing the same. I don't know how we can convey it to you more and more that about indoor and outdoor season. Your body's still doing something different indoor and outdoor season. It's different.
It is.
You know,
the example is,
indoor season, the climate is the same all the time. You're indoors. It's usually 70 to 72 degrees. Indoor facility. That's what it is. You have one climate.
Right.
One climate all the time. That's what you're doing. Outdoor season?
Totally different. You
90 degrees up.
Right. 90 degrees or
just 40 degrees. You know,
or
you don't.
Pouring down raining.
Or pouring down raining. Or humidity or no humidity.
Right.
All those things factor into what happens from an outdoor season. So maybe you're like, okay, it's good. They're doing. Then you get outdoor season, all of a sudden, that 100 meters that you were, that 60 meters you were running indoor season, now you come outdoor season, well, you running this the 100 meters, and it's 98 degrees outside with humidity, so it feels like 112, and guess what? You're still running.
Right.
And you're, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, my God, I can't breathe.
I know.
I can't. It's like, yep, that's outdoor season.
And that's the thing, and that's the reason why we practice in this type of weather. We don't just cancel practice. Well, unless it's like a heat.
Yes.
Heat index of a certain amount, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But if it's raining, we're not canceling practice just because it's raining.
Yeah,
because if it's raining and it's at a track meet, they're not going to cancel the track meet.
Well, what, other than my question is, parents, why do you even ask?
Right, right. And that's what I said. Are we going to cancel? They start, if it's raining at noon, 1 o'clock, are we practicing a day? Let's wait till 5.
Yeah, we try to train the parents. Like,
because even if it is raining, if it's not lightning outside, we are still having track practice.
That's right.
That's a given.
You're practicing.
So, you know, you have to
bring
condition yourself. Right, exactly. You have to condition yourself to be able to do. You know, to be able to run in those different types of climates.
That's right.
And again, so we go back to that whole rest thing, which is what we're talking about right now, because as we talk about rest, like we said, it's mental, it's physical, it's emotional.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get used to, a certain regimen and all this kind of stuff, then if it starts pouring down raining from an emotional standpoint, you're not already like freaking out like, oh my God, I can't run in the rain. Like you condition yourself to be able to do certain things, you know, because this is what you are accustomed to. And so it still boils down to what you, I guess, train your body to be prepared for.
Yes, absolutely. So, I mean, like we said, we're mentioning an indoor season, outdoor season, actually two different sports in the sense that, and like one of the other differences, again, because we talk about climate indoors, it's always the same climate, but also the track itself. Indoor season, a track is 200 meters. It's a 200-meter track indoor season. Now, there's some tracks that are 300 meters, but from a high school standpoint, rarely do we get on those. But the track is an indoor facility is a 200-meter track. Outdoors is the full 400 meters. So a 400 meters indoors is 2 laps, you know, an 800 meters is 4 laps,
right.
You know. So what is it? It's different. You got to train yourself. The other thing about indoor and indoor from indoor and outdoor this season is from an indoor standpoint, tall people don't like it.
No.
Tall people don't like indoors
and
running.
Especially not the inside lane.
Right. Woo. The reason being because it's like we said, it's a 200 meter track and it's really tight on the turns. So tall people, like, I can't – it's hard for them to run indoors inside because, inside, like, in lane one because it's just so hard, the turns and your legs and turning, and it's just centrifugal force. It's really difficult for tall track athletes, indoor season. The funny thing, if you watch an indoor meet, if you watch a lot of indoor track seasons, and you're in high school or college, and you'll see – you'll see a lot of people who are great indoor track athletes.
Right.
And they're like, oh, this can translate out. It doesn't translate. And one of the reasons it doesn't, it is because, and there's a funny thing about this, height. You know, it's just something about it, you know. A shorter athlete indoors seems to be better for the most part than a taller athlete indoors.
Mm-hmm.
Because you like, it's just, again, the explosion, being able to turn, the centrifugal force and turning and those things helps those athletes because they don't have to worry. Their center of gravity is different, and they don't have their center of gravity is different than a taller athlete, so it's easy for them to make those turns. Now, when you have bank tracks, that kind of helps. It evens out.
Right.
Evens out so the taller athlete. But even then, the taller athlete still wants to be wide, and they want to be up higher so they can turn and come down into it. But that's another difference. And coaching that and teaching that is another thing that changes the body, and you have to understand with the athlete, looking at your athlete, like, hey, for example, with Will's 6'3", you know, as good as he looked indoors, he looks even better outdoors, because he can open those legs up and use, and he can run the turn harder and do it because he can open it up and go,
right.
You know.
That's true.
So, I mean, some of those things you look at, like Rabbit, shorter, as explosion indoors and can get out and all those things. So there's those things that are, so that's the difference. And what happens though, so we have to teach Will how to run differently indoors. You know, we have to teach him how to run differently indoors, how to swing his arm across his body to get the centrifugal force to work for him and not against him. All those things are different. That's track indoors. Outdoors, he doesn't have to do that. He does it a little differently. We teach him something different, but muscles are changed, different types of what, even though we're using the same muscles and still sprinting, we've changed some of the aspects of the muscles he's using to sprint indoors.
Right.
So
right.
All those things happen. So those, it's two differences. But even like we were talking about, because our focus today has been rest, the transference from indoor season to outdoor season should be a difference, and there should be a break. And that break should be so the body can rest, because it has to transfer over to another sport. So let the body rest.
Right.
Oh, we can't emphasize it enough. You have to let them rest.
Right. And again, just to reiterate, rest, we are talking physically. It's beyond just physically.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rest mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You have to rest emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
You have to let go of that one season.
Oh, yeah.
Really let it all go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't want you doing anything. We don't even need you stretching during that time, if the truth be told. Not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, if you want to, that's probably the most you should do.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
But really physically doing anything at all, no.
Mm-hmm.
And we definitely need you getting that sleep. And we don't need catch-up sleep at that time either, because like you mentioned, you can never really catch up. So sleep and rest, you know, during the season and everything, that needs to be ongoing and, continuous.
Yeah, if something we have to tell you, I mean, you know, depends on your religion, on the seventh day, he rested.
Amen.
Do I need to say any more? On the seventh day, he rested. I mean, but because even in the Bible, it tells you how important the one thing to do is to rest.
That's right.
You have to rest.
Just
you have to
rest. What would Jesus do? He
rests. So you have to rest. You have to rest. I mean, again, transfers in different seasons. Even in that, you might think, and I hope we've told you and you've learned something tonight, that indoor season and outdoor season track are not the same. They're two different. So because you're transferring to another sport, there needs to be time to rest.
Right.
You need to take that time. Like I said, for us, indoor season basically ends at New Balance Nationals, which is March. However, most track programs and most track seasons begin the outdoor season usually begins at the end of March.
Right.
So what do you do?
Meet.
Yeah, usually at the end of March. So what do you do? Well, simple. Your athletes who went to New Balance Nationals,
don't compete.
See ya.
They're resting.
You don't need to run at the first meet. You'll be fine. We
got
plenty of other meets. You'll be okay.
That's right.
No need. You know, you take this couple of weeks and get your body relaxed. You relax. Take your mind off of it. We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Right.
We'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because we coach high school kids, they are like, you know, my season ended, whether it be good or bad. And when it's bad, they want to get that taste out their mouth and they want to get right back on it and get all that stuff. But the problem is, because that taste is still in their mouth, they haven't let it go, and they're focused on something we don't want them to focus on, and they're mentally not ready for the next season. So we need them to say, take these 2 weeks to get away from that and let that go so we can get you going to the other bit. The other side is they had a great indoor season. They did all these wonderful things. And it's like, man, I want to keep this going. I want to keep this going. And it's the same thing. We're saying that's over. That's done. That season's done. We're done with that. Move on to the next season. We can't focus on that. What you're doing there isn't going to be the same when it comes outdoors. And that's harder for high school athletes, but college and professional athletes understand the transition. And, you know, a lot of the professional athletes don't even do indoor season because they're just taking that whole time to train and do what they do because they have a 12-month cycle as compared to high school kids who probably have a 9 to 10 or 11-month cycle. So keep that in mind. When you talk about indoors and outdoor season, they're two different sports. And the biggest thing is, and the only thing we want you to understand is, rest. Please, please, parents, coaches, athletes, make sure the athlete gets their rest. Not 4 hours, not 5 hours. At minimum, eight hours of sleep. Get them on the cycle. Keep it like Tony mentioned. He's helping us this evening. Our third host today.
Right, our correspondent.
our field correspondent, Tony Baltimore, mentioned that, you know, get on a cycle. You should have the same sleep cycle. You know, you go to bed at 10 o'clock. Every night, go to bed at 10 o'clock. Whatever the case may be. But get your rest.
Mm-hmm.
We want to focus on rest today. Next week, we're going to talk about the other two parts of the R. We mentioned the R, recovery and regeneration. But today was just basically to talk about rest, which is mainly sleep. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is getting your sleep. But the other thing is off-season, shutting it down. And like Coach Donna's mentioned, she's emphasizing, and I totally agree, shut it down mentally. Shut it down physically. Shut it down every single way you can to let it go, move on, and get your body to completely say, my season's over. I'm going to do some things for me and relax and go forward. I mean,
Right. And
when we say that, we're not just talking about the athletes.
Right.
As us as coaches, it's the same thing. The season has ended. It ended in July 29th. And from that point until we get back at it, whatever day that would be, for me and probably for her too, it's not going to be August 27th, Lamont.
No,
we won't be out there.
No.
We'll be out later. We'll be coming out later. And the reason being is, again, from a preseason conditioning, it's not necessarily a need for me to be there earlier for that stuff. He can handle it. And then when I come in, it's going to be the hard line. Here comes the grizzly bear. Kill him. Exactly. The grizzly bear. Kill him. And then see what these kids are really made of. You know, because when I come out there, you know, they're like, oh, Coach Monster. Oh, no, here comes Coach Lewis. And then they tell the other kids, oh, well, you thought Coach Mont was bad. Where do you see Coach Lewis's workout? And then we see what goes on. And then we learn. And they learn that stuff. But it's, you know, it's a two-pronged approach. But for us, we need that time to shut it down, too.
We
need that time to shut it down, too, because for us, you know, it's not just high school. We have the youth track. And so our season extended. It doesn't end the first week of June. Our season extends another 6 weeks or longer because of AAU or USATF. Now, if it was AAU like we've done in the past, our season would have not ended until last Sunday.
Yeah.
Think about that. So we would have started August 27th, like it is now, and we wouldn't end until August the 4th. Can you think about that? That's literally over 11 months of track and field. That's what we would do. So what are we going to do? We need our rest. We need it, man. And we only ended like a week earlier than that, but even so. So we need the time to get away from it and relax and do what we want to do. We know we want to relax and do things, take time away. For both of us, we have kids in college, you know, spend some time with our kids in college. My daughter's home this week.
Hey, Sid.
I get to see her, you know, before for her, it hurts her senior year. So doing things that a dad would do. Okay, I'm getting her ready for her senior year. We start thinking about, you know, grad school and what school is she going to and talking about it and doing those things and just getting away, you know, spending some time away with the family.
That's hard to believe she's going to her senior year.
Yeah,
she just went to the prom.
I know, God. Between her, Sade, China, Gianna, God, Jalen,
India.
Yes, we got that first class of ours all graduate this year.
Yeah,
golly,
oh, ain't that
something? Just a sidebar, folks. We can tell you we had a group of kids, a 3-year window. Her Lily, every single one of them, and they're all in college now. But every single one of them got a scholarship to go to school.
Yes,
there was a 3-year window, and Coach Donna's posted some pictures from some of the some of the car washes,
some of the car washes,
yes.
And
you see
every
single child in that picture, every single one of them is in college right now from a scholarship based on a track and field, or volleyball, whatever the case is. But so they're all or academic, but they're all in school, and they're all this one group of kids. It's just amazing. And when I started thinking about it, I was like, my God, at one point, our youth program had nationally ranked kids in 100, 200, 400, 800. 1500, steeplechase, long jump, high jump, triple jump. They also won the sprint medley. They were second in the 4x8. Lord have mercy. We will. They won the sprint medley. They were second in the 4x8. And the only things we didn't do was the 4x1 and the 4x4. That group, we had a group, the 3-year cycle with nationally ranked and all Americans or national champions.
And all kinds of stuff.
From the 100, 200, 400, 800, 1500, steeplechase, long jump, high jump, triple jump, 4x8, sprint medley, multi, the heptathlon, right? And hurdles. I'm sorry, now I'm like, I forget. 100 hurdles, 400 hurdles.
Even all 200 hurdles back then.
200 hurdles, yep. Right? Hey, when were you? Yep, 200 hurdles. They were all nationally ranked or all American. That group, that window. God, that was a.
And you know what?
Unbelievable. And now all of them, all that group, other than the ones who have not gotten to college yet, are in college right now on scholarships.
Yeah. Yeah, I tell you, when I look back at that stuff, it is just, it's just incredible to me. And the thing about it is that they are still family. Like they're all still very close knit. And I just think that that's, you know, a testament to you know, just the family aspect that we have you know, with the kids. And to this day, the funny part is, like Coach Floyd, we don't even have kids in the program anymore. Our kids been gone.
Yes.
You know, and our kids didn't even choose to run track in college.
Nope.
You know, but they still got scholarships.
That's
but
right.
You know, but the bottom line is that you know, they still, that whole family aspect of it, I personally appreciate it because they stay on each other and keep each other accountable to stay in school and to, you know, to continue to thrive in whatever it is that they have chosen to do.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and they still share each other's victories. And even when, you know, even they're upset.
Yes.
You know, I think that's so
absolutely
important.
It is one of the things. And one of the things, and the things that we talk about each and every week, we talk about the same things we did with our kids. We talk about in these programs. This is not something we just making up.
Right.
Everything
right.
we talk about is something that we've learned over the time and we've put into play. And the athletes that we've coached, whether it be our AAU team or our high school teams, we don't just make this stuff up. We want you to understand that we're coming from some learned people, learning and understanding what it takes to do in this sport and be good in this sport. And the reason I mentioned those groups because everything we talked about is some of the things that we emphasize as well, and some of the challenges we had, and getting the kids to understand the parts about rest, time management, and scheduling. And those are all things that we had to struggle with our kids and explaining to them what was going on and what you have to do.
And because by them being buddies, one of the things that they love to do, especially like when we went to the Nationals, is stay up and giggle all night.
Oh, my God, yes, they did.
You know, they wanted to get in that swimming pool and swim every single day.
That's right. I mean,
you know, and just different things like that. So one of the things that we didn't just learn this, but we actually promoted this during Nationals this time is you can get into that pool. That's a part of the, you know, process
regeneration
too.
Yep.
But you can't swim and you can't overexert, you know, you can't exert, not even overexert, you can't exert any.
Yeah, well, Will can't swim anyway.
I know, right? That's a whole nother story. He's like, can you show me how to tread water? What are you doing right now?
You're 6'3".
First of all, you're only in the 5 feet.
Exactly.
5 foot part of the pool.
You're
6'3".
You're 6'3". You're standing in the water even close to your head.
Right. Is that your chest right now? So what you need to move over to the 8 foot before we even have this conversation. Gotta love you.
Oh, my God, Will.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So
that's what we just mentioned because all these things, it's not trial and error. It's stuff that we've learned over the years and things we've put into play, and we're trying to get it out to everybody else. We had to do it as coaches. We had to do it as parents as well.
Right.
You know, we had to understand that stuff, and we mentioned us being athletes and how it was different from us all those years ago doing the things that we do because, again, we didn't talk about much about nutrition when we run. It was basically eat what you did and go out and get on the track.
Right.
You know, and run and do what your coaches told you to do. Like, okay, but the rest was kind of emphasized, but it wasn't, you know, as mentioned as we're doing here.
Right.
The only thing we knew about was stretching and hydration. Those are the two big things. Well, we learned over the years, and we've learned as we get better, that there are other parts of it. And one of the biggest things is truly getting your sleep. Getting your sleep.
And it's crazy because, like you said, we didn't do any of that. I mean, we did it, but not to the, you know, to the way that it's enforced nowadays. But the crazy part now is that they have tech studies, sleep studies.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Nike has all these facilities to watch the, you know,
yep.
the training, the hydration, the
mm-hmm.
rest, and all that kind
mm-hmm.
of stuff. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, I mean, it's studies that show, you know, improve all this stuff.
That's right.
True,
absolutely.
So
tonight, we focused on the rest, sleeping. Next week, part two will be about recovery. And recovery is basically what we're talking about on the track and what we do for recovery. And recovery includes stretching. It includes foam rolling and all the other things that are part of as recovery when you're on the track. So we'll get into that next week. We gave you a little bit about recovery, told you what recovery is. We told you what regeneration is. But our focus was rest. And again, in the next 20 seconds, we're going to go back with our time off. We're going to do the same thing you do and get our rest.
Yeah.
And do our sleeping and do what we need to do as coaches and do the things that's supposed to be important to us, which is take the time to get away and regenerate. So that's what we're going to do. So we'll see you again next week.
All right.
Have a good evening, everybody.
Okay, peace
later.
Bye, Tony.
Oh, my God. God, you know what? Hey, what's up?
Hey.
Woo!
Sorry.
You ain't watching. You're too busy watching.
Watching the Eagles.
Oh, my God. How's the game going?
The Eagles are first. Sorry.
I'm listening.
It records.
Terrible.
Fine.